here. I love your pastor, but right now I'm jealous of him. Hey, man, when that snow started flying the other day, I told my kids last night I went on Zillow and started looking at property in Florida. Told my wife, I said, we can come to Michigan for the summer, probably cheaper than we can go to Florida for the winter, amen. But I don't know. I'm not a fan of winter. Haven't been a fan of winter for a long, long time. When I was in the Navy, I had an opportunity. I was stationed in Pensacola, Florida. Had an opportunity to become a civil servant, stay down there, work on one of the bases. And, oh, man, I couldn't wait to move back to Michigan because I loved to ski. I loved to ice skate. I loved all those winter sports. We've been home now for 42 years. I think I've ice skated twice. I skied once. Decisions you make, amen. But praise the Lord, it's good to be here this morning. Good to see everybody's smiling face. Enjoyed Sunday school. And this morning we're going to take our text from John chapter 10. John chapter 10. Really went back and forth on what I was going to preach today, but I believe this will be an encouragement to you, and that's kind of what I want to be, just be an encouragement. Hopefully help you today. John chapter 10, we're going to begin reading in verse number 7. I'm going to ask you to stand with me if you're able as we read John chapter 10, verse number 7. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I want to talk about the revival of the abundant life today. Revival of the abundant life. Let's pray. Father, we come to you now and we thank you so much for this time that we can be here. Lord, what a great opportunity it is to be in the house of God, to be around God's people. Lord, to open the word of God. And I just pray that you would just encourage the folks that have gathered here today. God, folks have come to hear from you. They haven't come to hear from me. And I just pray that you would provide, Lord, a special touch today. Encourage someone that may need it today. Lord, I pray you'd bless someone that is going through a difficult time. But Lord, I pray most of all, that if there's someone here that does not know Christ as their Savior, that, Lord, this morning they would realize their need. Father, they may be here and they've been in church for years, but, Lord, that church doesn't save them. I pray that you'd help them realize that today, that only Jesus Christ can save a soul. So, Father, I pray you'd give me power. I pray that, Lord, this morning again, this message would be a blessing, and we'll thank you for what you're going to do in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. And we talk about revival a lot, especially in our circles. America needs revival. We know that. America could use revival. But America can get revival through God's people, and God's people need revival in their lives. We all could use revival. The definition of revival is what? To bring something back to life that is either dead or dying. Right? I mean, if someone has a heart attack and they do chest compressions on them and they revive them, their goal is to revive them, to bring them back into life again. And there's some things that in our lives we need to get revival. Charles Finney said, he was the father of modern revivalism. He was an evangelist back in the early 1900s, said a revival is nothing else than a new beginning of obedience to God. A new beginning of obedience to God. Revival is meant to stir us back up, to get us back to the life that God intends you and I to have. The life that the Lord wants us to have. The Lord, that the life wants us to enjoy. Jesus in this passage is talking about his care for the sheep, God's people. The people that he went to the cross to die for so that we could have eternal life. He's talking about his care for us. He refers to himself as the door to the sheep. What he's saying is that he's the only way into the fold, first of all. He's the only way in. He's not a way. He is the way. There's no other way that you can come to Christ or come to God but through Him. The sheepfold is like a corral, if you will, back in Jesus' day. And there was one entrance into the sheepfold. And many times the shepherd would lay across that entrance to keep predators away from the sheep and to be the guardian to protect them. He would guard the entrance. Jesus said, all that came before Him and since Him that say that they are Christ or that they are the Messiah are thieves and robbers. They weren't the true Messiah. They were trying to rob people. They were thieves, robbing, if you will, the spiritual life that Christ came to give. Jesus goes on to say that the thief comes not but for to steal and to kill and destroy. You know, if the devil could, he'd steal you from the fold. He'd steal you from a life that Christ came to give you. In other words, eternal life. But he can't. He can't steal your soul. Amen. If you've trusted Christ as your Savior, you're on your way to heaven, and that's not changing. By the grace of God, hopefully everyone here knows that they have taken that time in their life. They remember a time in their life where they realized that they were a sinner, and they had to receive Christ as their Savior. They didn't have a relationship with God. And Christ died for their sins and saved their soul. But the thief, he may not be able to steal your soul, but friend, he can steal your joy. He can kill your testimony. He can destroy what God has for us as His children. In context of this passage, in contrast to the thief, Jesus talks about Himself as bringing abundant life. He brings abundant life. The thief comes to kill and to steal and to destroy. Jesus comes to bring us life, to bring us abundant life, a life that we can enjoy in Him. I believe that that's what the thief comes to steal. He comes to steal from the child of God the abundant life that He wants to give every one of us. Jesus has given us the abundant life, and we have allowed the thief to take it from us. We go to church out of duty. We do the things of God because, well, that's what I'm supposed to do. And we've lost the joy. We've lost the abundant life that the Lord gave us. It's here for all of us to enjoy and to be part of. You know, the Lord doesn't want you as a child of God, as a Christian, to merely survive. And I believe that's what most of us are doing. We're just surviving, just getting by. He wants us to thrive in this life that He's given us. He wants us to be excited about the things of God. We need a revival of the abundant life that we have in Christ. Now, the abundant life isn't the absence of problems. Amen. We're going to have our trials. We're going to have our heartaches. We're going to have our problems. It's also not this health, wealth, and prosperity that you can listen on the radio or see on TV, you know, oh, your best life now and all these things. Hey, friend, it's a life lived with Christ. A life lived walking daily with the Savior, walking with the Shepherd, following the Lord. The abundant life is a life that the Shepherd gives us. Verse number 9 indicates we have salvation. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Not only do we get saved and we enter into the sheepfold and we're under the watch care of the Lord, but man, we have the benefit of walking with the Savior every day. We have the benefit of going in and going out and finding pasture. He feeds us. He fellowships with us. And we can enjoy those things. We should enjoy those things. But the thief has lulled us to sleep. He stole the abundant life from us, and we need it to be revived in our lives. First and foremost, we need to get back to the abundance of our salvation. The abundance of our salvation. Romans chapter 5, verse 20, the Bible says, moreover, the law entered in that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Grace did much more abound. Hey, there was a time in our lives where our salvation meant everything to us. Man, we were excited about the things of God. We were excited that we were saved. We couldn't believe that God would forgive me, a sinner, that God would come to me and He would draw me, and that Jesus Christ saved me, that He hung on that cross because of my sin. And He personally saved my soul. We're in awe of the fact that God's grace is greater than our sin. Hallelujah. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And we were saved by God's grace. We couldn't believe that He would save us. Watch out. Our sins that were many were forgiven forever. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord for that. Man, I remember when I first got saved, I was asking God to forgive me of stuff I didn't even know if I did. But if I did it, I wanted to get it all covered. Amen. I just asked God to forgive me for everything. I was so excited about the fact that I was forgiven. Forgiven forever. We witnessed to others about our Savior. The abundance of the joy that we had in our heart. The abundance of the idea of that burden of sin being lifted off of us. Man, we wanted everybody to experience that. We weren't trying to cram our religion down someone's throat. We wanted them to honestly, hey man, if you only knew how I felt, you wouldn't be fighting me right now. You wouldn't be arguing against me. Please, trust Christ. You will feel the joy. You will feel the guilt gone in your life. And we were excited about those things. We wanted our friends and our family to experience the newfound joy that they had. Then time passed. We lost the wonder of it all. The thief cometh not before to steal and to kill and to destroy. The thief has robbed us of our joy of our salvation. We don't witness like we did anymore. We don't have the concern for our family and our friends like we used to. We don't have that burden in our heart. May the Lord give us a revival of the abundance of our salvation, praising God for His unmerited favor, for His abundant grace. Hey, we don't deserve to be part of God's family. There's nothing great about me that God said, man, I need to save that guy. Amen. We're all like that. We're nothing but a bunch of sinners saved by the grace of God. And thank the Lord for that. But we need to get back that. We don't deserve to be part of God's family, but by His grace and the blood of Jesus Christ, we're in. Amen. Maybe you're here today and you have no idea what I'm talking about. Say, this guy's nuts. Or maybe you're part of this church. You've been in this church. You've been going to church your whole life. But can I tell you something, friend? Jesus Christ died for you. He died for your sin personally. The Bible says we're all guilty. Every last one of us is guilty of sin. But God sent His Son to die on the cross for our sin so that we could come to God through His Son, Jesus Christ. Maybe you're here today and you don't understand that, but you need to know. Can I tell you something? It can only be experienced. That's the thing about salvation. You and I can try to describe it to people that we love and people that we care about, but until it's experienced, they won't get it, will they? They may know that they're a sinner. They may know that they need to be saved. But man, until they come to that place where they truly ask God for forgiveness and receive Jesus Christ as their Savior, they won't understand it. It needs to be experienced. But can I tell you something, friend? It's not religion. It's not in being in church on Sunday. It's not in maybe even just carrying your Bible every once in a while. It's in a relationship with God that you can only have through Jesus Christ today. And maybe you've been, like I said, maybe you've been in church your whole life and you don't remember that excitement. You don't remember that joy of your sin being forgiven. You don't remember that time. Friend, and get it settled. Man, get it back. Some of you may be here today, have been saved for many, many, many years, but you can think back to those days where you drove your family nuts and your friends nuts and the people at work and school and everywhere you went because all you wanted to do was to see them get saved because that was so important to you. Don't we need to get that back? We need a revival of the abundance of salvation. Then we need a revival of the abundance of the Spirit. Titus chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Lord. Hey, when we first got saved, the Spirit of God comes inside of our life, doesn't He? He comes into our heart, and all of a sudden we're enlightened, and we understand things, and we start getting it. You know, we start reading the Bible and go, whoa, I never saw that before. I didn't know that was in the Bible. And it was exciting to us every time we went to the Word of God. We were dead spiritually in our sins, and we were made alive by Christ Jesus. When we read the Bible, we began to understand it. There was a story of an old college professor. He'd get up and he'd tell his students, he'd mock the Bible, and he'd say, I've read the Bible from cover to cover, and I don't understand the thing that's in it. And a student raised his hand one day and said, that's because you're trying to read somebody else's mail, sir. The Bible's written to the child of God. The Bible's written to those that have the Holy Spirit. And the people that have the Spirit of God are enlightened by the Spirit and get it, right? You get it. You go, man, that's talking right to me. It's talking right to my situation. You know, with the Word of God, where the Spirit of God enlightens us, the Spirit of God teaches us the Word of God. It's fresh and it's exciting. We go to church and the preacher preaches. And when the preacher's preaching, man, he's talking right at you. Man, have you ever had that happen to you? You know, our family go to church and we come in and I'd start looking at the kids saying, okay, who's squealing on your old man? Why does the preacher know all this stuff about us? It wasn't that the preacher knew that what was going on in my life. He was just the same Spirit of God that dwells inside the preacher, dwells inside me. And God gives him the messages to preach, to enlighten me and to work in my heart. I'd get mad at my wife. Who are you telling all this stuff to? Has the preacher got a bug in our house or what? Ever happened to any of you? I mean, I had a lot of sins I got forgiven for, so maybe you didn't, but hey. You loved it. You'd come to church and you couldn't wait. You couldn't wait to hear the next message. You couldn't wait for God to work in your heart and work in your life and to change your marriage and to change your family and to change the way you're raising your kids and to change your relationships in life, to change the things that needed to be changed in your life. You know, other people who would take notice of your enthusiasm. John chapter 7, verses 38 and 39 says, He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this he spake of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not glorified. People could see the Spirit of God working in your life. It would flow out of your life. It was a life that was lived for God, lived for Christ. The Spirit used to be on display. We hated sin. We avoided sinful places and habits. People would tell off-color jokes, and we wouldn't listen to them. Conversations at work would change whenever we entered the room. Something inappropriate comes on television, we'd change the channel. Why? Because the Spirit of God that was inside of us was working on us and working on those people that were around us, and the Spirit of God was flowing out of our lives. But the thief cometh not, but to steal and to kill and to destroy. We've allowed the Spirit of God to be grieved in our lives, to be quenched. Now we read the Bible out of a sense of duty rather than a sense of pleasure. Well, I better read my Bible today. I know I'm supposed to. Passages that are familiar to us, we just kind of skim over them real quick and read them real fast and not wait for the Spirit of God to work in our life because, you know, after all, we know them. We've read them before. The preacher preaches, and now we don't like it when he starts meddling in our life. Before, we enjoyed it. We wanted God working in our life. Now when the preacher says something that goes against something that we're doing, well, you know, we're not so happy about that now. Who's he think he is? Telling me about my sin. But he's got sin in his life. Amen. Now we fight against those things. Associates at work that are new don't know we're Christians because we've sought to blend in rather than stand out. Rather be like everybody else than to, you know, draw attention to myself because I'm different. Walking with the Lord. The Spirit of God is very sensitive. The Spirit of God is easily grieved, easily quenched. We need to get back to the abundance of the Spirit of God in our life. And then we need a revival of the abundance of supplication in our life. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20, the Bible says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." There was a time in our lives where prayer was so important that we would not miss the opportunity to pray. Wednesday night prayer meetings were sweet. The pastor would call for a special prayer meeting, and man, we couldn't wait to take part. Our private time with the Lord was precious to us. Might not have been able to pray long, but we knew that it was necessary. It was a necessity in our lives. We had to pray. I remember when we used to live down in Westland. I was working up in Flint. I had to start work at 6 o'clock in the morning, and I had an hour and 15 minute drive from home. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So that meant I was leaving the house at 4:30 in the morning. But I know this, every morning I got on my face before God. It might not have been long, but I knew I needed to pray for the drive that I had ahead of me. Of course, there wasn't too much traffic on the road at that time of the morning, but I knew my wife needed her husband praying for her. I knew that my boys needed their dad to be praying for them. It was a necessity. It was a necessity that I prayed. I might not have been able to pray for long. Like I said, it was a short time, but I knew I had to lift up some people in prayer, and I had to ask God to watch over me. Friend, we used to love times in prayer. When God would answer our prayers, man, was that cool. I mean, we couldn't wait to tell people about, hey, you know what God did? He answered this prayer. I was praying specifically for this, and God answered the prayer, and people would look at you like you were a nut. But you didn't care because you wanted to thank God. You wanted to praise the Lord for what he was doing, exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. God would work in our lives. Hey, we used to not be afraid to ask things that were big. And we were not too proud to ask for the small things either. Praying big, man. Getting out there and praying for some huge things. I had a buddy that I used to work with, dear Christian friend, and his church, they were out in the country. They were over by Frankenmuth. He said there was this one lady and her kids that would always come to church, but they drove for a long distance. And in between services, she would just hang out in the area. And one day he went to the grocery store, him and his wife, and they were in there. And they could see that lady kind of walking around with her kids and just putting some stuff in a basket, you know, a loaf of bread and some different things like that. And had a quick conversation with her. And he walked out to the car and he sat down in the car and he said to his wife, "I got something I got to go do." And he went back inside the store, found that lady, and he handed her a $20 bill. No big deal, right? That lady began to weep. She said, "I didn't know how I was going to pay for these groceries." She had to feed her kids. It was just her and them. She goes, "I didn't know how I was going to pay for these groceries, but I had been praying and asking God to give me the money, somehow provide so that we could do it." Now, my buddy, he's just weeping. You know, he's in the grocery store. He's weeping with her. She's weeping. They're having a time. But he was so blessed. He could have drove away and not fulfilled that woman's prayer. But I got news for you. God would have fulfilled it somewhere else. But he got the blessing of being part of that. But my point is this. Here's this lady praying for something big. 20 bucks isn't a whole lot of money. But she was praying for something because she had to feed her kids. Friend, we got to get back to trusting God for some things in our life. Not be afraid to pray for big things. Not be too proud to pray for the small things. But the thief cometh not before to steal and to kill and destroy. Prayer's no longer a priority. Oh, well, now, wait a second, preacher. I got a real problem right now. I got some real serious issues going on, and I'm praying for them things. Well, good. But were you praying 2 weeks ago when you didn't have that problem? See, our prayer gets very fervent when we got issues, when we got trials, when we got problems in our life. It's like we treat God like he's some sort of a genie in a bottle. We come to God and we pull the bottle down and rub the lamp because we need to get our wish, right? And then when things are going good and you got this, we put the bottle back on the shelf and we take care of it ourselves. We don't need to be fervent in our prayer life because everything's going okay. Well, you know what? There's other people that need you to pray for them. There's always something to pray about, isn't there? There's always someone to pray for. We've matured enough in our walk with the Lord that we can find pasture on our own. Amen? We don't need to follow the shepherd in and out. Go out and find pasture. Go out and find the things that we need. Go out and do the things. He'll allow him to provide for us. We can do it on our own. There's been some prayers God hasn't answered in my life, preacher. And so, like a spoiled child, I'm just not going to talk to him. Mm-mm-mm. Plenty of prayers God hasn't answered in my life the way I wanted them to. Plenty of them, but I know this. I still need them. I need them every day. I'm not going to give up in my prayer life. We need to talk to the Lord. We've become too self-sufficient and no longer shepherd-dependent. We need revival of the abundance of our supplication. And then we need revival of the abundance of seeing scenes in heaven. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 11 says, "For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ." Man, there was a time in our lives when we thought about heaven and it was exciting. I mean, man, going to heaven was exciting. It was an exciting thought. You know, the thought of the rapture would always stir up conversations. Amen. Boy, the Lord's coming back. Lord's coming. I remember Jimmy Carter used to be the Antichrist. Amen. It's been a few years since he was president, but boy, everybody thought Jimmy Carter was the Antichrist. Something in the middle happens in the Middle East. Boy, our ears would perk up. I say, man, the Lord's coming back. Yeah, I know the Lord's return is a day closer than it was yesterday. But I mean, it used to be something that we'd get fervent about. Oh man, the Lord's coming back. The blood moons. Oh man, the signs in heaven. The Lord's coming back. Hey, there was a book out, 88 Reasons Why Jesus Was Coming Back in 1988. Amen. I don't know if he's written any books since then, but he made a lot of money on that one and it didn't happen. Amen. Hey, the thought of seeing loved ones that have gone on before us should excite us. Because the thought of seeing your Savior should excite you. You know, I it bothers me when I think about this sometimes, but you know, losing Johnny, losing our son, I miss him something awful. I miss him something awful. And when I think about heaven, it's sad to say that my first thought is seeing Johnny. Seeing Johnny. Because shouldn't my first thought be, I want to see Jesus. Because he's the reason I'm there. He's the reason I get a chance to see Johnny. But that's all right. I think the Lord goes, okay, I get it. I get it. But hey, friend, we used to get excited about thinking about heaven. We're going to see people that are there. You know, people say things like, oh, you're so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. Well, amen. Bought into the world's philosophy of heaven. We bought into the world's philosophy of the rapture. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 and 4 said, knowing this first, there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. We've allowed the devil to rob us of our joy of heaven. We don't think about it. We're not looking forward to it. Now, hey, I'm not looking forward to the process. Amen. All right. I'm hoping the rapture takes place. All right. But I know this, no matter what happens in my life, I'm going there. I'm going to arrive there someday. You know, we've allowed the devil to rob us of that joy. Yes, they've been talking about Jesus coming since the days of Paul. I realize that. but he's still coming, friend. He's still coming. We've become earthbound instead of heavenbound. We're going. Amen, if you know Christ. So today, my friend, we need to get back to the revival of the abundant life. It's a life that Jesus came to bring us. The abundant life. The thriving life as a child of God, as a Christian. The life of walking with the shepherd. We've allowed the thief to steal and to kill and to destroy the abundant life that Jesus came to give us. We need to get the thief out of the sheepfold. We need to bring it back to life today. Hey, the abundance of our salvation. Have we lost that joy? Have we lost that fire? Have we lost that zeal? We lost the gratefulness that God saved me, gave me eternal life. We lost the wonder of God loving us enough to save us. Let's ask God today to forgive us of our apathy. Ask Him to restore the joy of our salvation today. And hey, if you're here today and you don't know that joy at all, you've never experienced that joy, can I say to you, friend, no one wants you to become a Baptist. No one's trying to get you to join a religion. They want you to understand you can have a home in heaven today through Jesus Christ. Receive Christ today. Don't put it off. Don't put it off another day. Trust Christ. Have your sins forgiven and enjoy the joy of your salvation and the abundance of the Spirit of God. Hey, friend, have we grieved the Spirit of God today? The Spirit that's in us, have we quenched His operation in our lives? Have we lost our fire, our zeal for God? Have we lost our effectiveness as a child of God? Have we gotten away from the Word of God? We need to ask the Holy Ghost to forgive us. Ask Him to enlighten us again and to teach us again and empower our preachers and give us ears to hear and hearts to respond. And have we neglected to communicate with the Lord? We lost the abundance of our supplication. Are we too self-sufficient today? I got this, Lord. I'll call you when I need you, but right now I got it. Are we afraid to ask God, put Him on the spot by asking Him for the big things? The Bible says if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. Now, there's a qualification there, isn't there? Is it in God's will? Doesn't mean you don't ask, though. Have we become too proud to ask for the small things? And then, friend, the abundance of the scenes in heaven. Hey, man, I'm not living my best life now. I'm going to be living my best life for all eternity, amen. That's going to be the best. Because it's going to last forever, and there's not going to be any sin, there's not going to be any sorrow, there's not going to be any heartache, there's not going to be any hospitals, there's not going to be any cemeteries up in heaven, amen? I would say there's not going to be any doctors in heaven, but there will be doctors in heaven, they just won't be practicing, amen? That's our eternal home. We're going to spend eternity there. Our life here is just a vapor. And we need to start looking forward to the days when we can see the Lord, and see those that have gone on before us. Hey, let's ask the Lord to revive the abundant life in us again today. Today, say, you know what, Lord? I need that back. I need that back. I remember those times, and I've lost them. Hey, the Holy Spirit's got the paddles. He's ready to boom, bring you back to life right now if you're willing to ask Him. Father, we come to you now, and Lord, we thank you that we can have an abundant life in Christ. So often I think we project a life that's drudgery to a lost world. Oh, Father, might we get back our joy. Might we get back that abundance in our life. Might we, Lord, just enjoy the life that you came to give us. Father, I pray that we would get back the joy of our salvation, the joy of the Spirit, the joy of prayer, the joy of Lord, seeing you again. Lord, not just get by, but Lord, thrive as children of God. And then, Lord, I pray if there's someone here that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, oh, Lord, I pray that today they would understand their need for forgiveness and that they would trust Christ today. Lord, help them to know that you love them more than any person on this earth. Well, Father, we ask now for you to speak to hearts with heads bowed and eyes closed. If you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior, you don't remember a time where you've trusted him and asked him to forgive, asked God to forgive you and believed on Jesus Christ and what he did at the cross. You say, man, I want to get that straight today, preacher. I want to get that settled in my heart. No one's asking you to get baptized today. No one's asking you to join the church. No one's asking you to do, just asking if you want to be saved, if you want to know you have a home in heaven today. Can you raise your hand and say, that's me, preacher. I want to get that settled. Is there anybody like that this morning? I want to get that settled in my life once and for all. Anybody at all? All right, children of God, would you say today, preacher, God spoke to my heart. I've allowed the devil to steal and to kill and destroy some things in my life. And today, God's spoken to my heart. And I just want to get back that abundant life. Can you raise your hand and say, that's me, preacher? Anybody at all? Father, we come to you now and we thank you for this time. Thank you for allowing us to be here today. And Lord, just pray that we would leave this place wanting to, Lord, rejoice in you and all that you've given us. In Jesus' name, amen.